The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 7. Jeremiah, chapter number 7, we'll read here beginning in verse number 21. And find the simple truth that we want to consider this morning in and around verse number 23. Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse number 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, walking in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you, or well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. In verse number 23, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, utters these words. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. And to understand whom the Lord is talking to, glance over to verse number 2. As he was preparing Jeremiah to go and preach this message and to deliver these words, he gave him this instruction in verse number 2, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. So understand, when we get to verse number 23, and the instruction there is, obey my voice, he's talking to his own people. He's talking here, of course, to the children of Israel. By extension, and also by type, he is talking to us today. Those that are saved by grace, those that have been added to the Lord's church, all those that are part of the family of God, all of those that are saved by His marvelous grace, God is talking to us today when He says, obey my voice. But that's not all He says in verse number 23. After the instruction to obey my voice, God further says, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you. Putting these two direct and distinct and declarative statements of the Lord together, we find the simple truth that we want to explore this morning, and that is obedience. These words, coupled with the many others that God spoke through Jeremiah, show us that God demands and expects obedience. At the heart of Jeremiah's message here is that very truth. We find it throughout Jeremiah's writings. Time and again, God says through the prophet, obey my voice, as he speaks unto the children of Israel. When Israel was in a backslidden condition, as they were in Jeremiah's time, it's very clear that the Lord viewed them as disobedient. We notice that in verse number 24. At the end of that verse tells us that they went backward and not forward. They did what their evil heart had directed them to do. They hearkened not unto him. They hardened their neck. They were worse than their fathers, whom were before them in the land of Egypt. What God desired from them was obedience. And notice again, if you go back to verse 21 and 22, setting the context here to highlight the subject of obedience, he tells them through Jeremiah, when I brought your fathers out of Egypt, I didn't say a thing to them about burnt offerings. I didn't command them at all about a system whereby they could sacrifice animals in order to cover their sins and be right with me. But what I did do, What I did say unto them, and what I did command them, it was to simply obey my voice, to follow me, to do as I commanded. And of course, at this time during Jeremiah's ministry, Israel had forgotten all about that. They had been the northern half of the kingdom taken into captivity already, the southern half preparing to be done likewise. But what he desired of them, that obedience, that obey my voice, that, as he says in verse number 23, walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, he desired of them, and he desires of us today as well. We are to be an actively obedient people. The subject of obedience is met with a negative reaction. But how many people here today like it when their children obey? When you see your grandchildren obey their parents, how many? How many of us really dislike it when we're out in a store or a restaurant or a place of business and we see children disobeying and dishonoring their parents? We don't like that very much, do we? That's a very negative thing, a very bad thing. But yet when we turn it around upon ourselves and we talk about obeying God, we don't like that. It has a negative thought put with it. But when we see how the Bible communicates this here, it is a very simple truth that the Bible communicates to us. It truly is straightforward and unmixed. It's not complicated, not convoluted. It is not complex. The only complexity that has been added is by man, as we have said about every time we have brought this subject up of simple truth. When man adds his part or takes away from the Word of God, complexity and complication is what ensues, and this subject is no different. Mainly in two ways, the subject of obedience is met with complication. In today's climate, in today's religious circles, we see one of two reactions. One, people will cry, liberty. I have liberty to live as I please. Isn't that what Galatians says? That we should stand therefore steadfast in the liberty that we've gotten in Christ. That wasn't word for word, of course, but I think it's Galatians 5:1. Talks about that liberty. Isn't that it? And people will say, that means that I can sort of live and do. We answered that last week, didn't we? Security we have in salvation doesn't mean that we can live as we please. It doesn't mean that we can do as we want. But that's what some people think, and that's a complication that is thrown in. The second reaction among religion today, when you talk about obedience unto God and His demand for it, His expectation of it, is they cry legalism. They say, well, you're only doing that because it's part of your salvation, whether to get saved or to keep yourself saved. But we answered that question too last week. We know that can't be so. Our soul is eternally secure, and it matters not what our behavior is. It doesn't give us license to sin, but it also gives us the confidence that forgiveness is ours already for when we do fail. So obedience isn't about earning or keeping our salvation. Obedience isn't about, trying to dangle that carrot that we talked about last week. So then what is the purpose of it? Why does God demand it? Why does He expect it from us? What part does obedience play in our lives today? And why should we be an obedient people? Let us consider that thought this morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. We will be back to Jeremiah at some point here this morning. But look at the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. If you'll remember, we turned to this passage last week because this is one of the foremost passages, imagery-wise, that deal with the subject of security, of that eternal security in the hand of Christ. We read this last week. But notice here the words of Christ in verse number 27, as He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That word follow there, it's talking about obedience. The hearing being something that affirms our salvation, affirms that we are children of God. We hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we understand that call. We feel that call. And if we're saved by His grace, as it says here, we will follow and heed that call. We will obey it in our lives. In other words, what we are told to do by the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, we do. We obey. So as we think about what obedience is in our life, why we are to be obedient, when we're talking about simple truth, one of the simplest answers is because God commands it. It's not the only reason, but understand that God expects obedience from us. Just like He says here, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me and what I command them to do. That is what we expect of our children, is it not? We expect them to hear our voice. We expect them to follow our instruction. We expect them to obey what we say and how we lead. Obedience is commanded here by Christ. Active obedience is a true mark of a child of God, as Brother Mike pointed out in Sunday school, not just simply because we have to, but because we have a deep-seated desire to please the Father. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. So many people think about obedience as doing something we don't want to do because we have to. I mean, that's really what we think about obedience. Doing something we don't want to do just because we have to do it. But that's really not what this obedience is all about. God commands it. And because He commands it, we should do it. But that new creation we have within us is something we desire. It's something we look forward to. It's something that we strive to do. Obedience should be rendered partly because it's commanded, simply because He says so, but also in part for what He has done for us, in us, and through us. Look at Romans chapter number 12. So not only do we have the understanding that God as the supreme author, creator of all things, God as the sustainer, provider, protector, and the one that is sovereign over all things, He says to do it, it's our duty to do it. But there's also the understanding that we should be motivated to obedience because of what has been done for us. Romans 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This verse could be boiled down to Paul saying, obey God because of what Christ has done for you. Obey Him because of Christ. Because it is reasonable to do anything that God asks you to do. Because Christ has paid the price for your sin. Because you're not the one that is going to have to suffer eternity in hell. Christ has already suffered that. He has already given that. So because of what we have been saved from, because of what we have been delivered to, eternal life and that promise of heaven, all of those things, we should desire to please Him. We should desire to obey Him. We should desire to do whatever He commands. Because He commands it, but also because of what He has done for us. As in our text from Jeremiah and the other verses in his writing, God often uses the phrase, obey my voice. And when He spoke through Jeremiah, He often reminded Israel of what they had experienced. He often took them back in history. And if you read through the Bible on a constant or consistent basis, one thing that stands out is that God, time and again, in the Old Testament, and even somewhat in the New Testament, reviews everything He did for Israel. Time and again, it keeps coming back. He keeps reminding them. He says, obey my voice. Understand that you were lost in Israel. You were in bondage, or in Egypt, and I brought you out. I redeemed you with an outstretched arm. I saved you. Now, obey my voice. He reminds them of their salvation and redemption from Egypt, of His power, of His provision, of His protection, often through the wilderness and all that He has done for them since. He sees or He tells them that time and again. And likewise, we need to see what Christ has done for us in salvation. Never get over that. Never get over the fact that we deserve to be spending eternity in hell. We deserve to be eternally separated from God. We deserve to experience the wailing and gnashing of teeth. We deserve the darkness of hell for all of eternity. But Jesus Christ paid the price. If that doesn't connect with you, read Isaiah 53. Read about the fact that He took those stripes, our transgressions and the iniquities that were laid upon Him. Read the fact that God Himself bruised Jesus Christ. Read about those things and see. And what can God then ask of you? That is too much to be rendered. Not because He wants payment. Not because He wants you to earn or keep. Not because He wants you to somehow make it worth it for Him. But simply because what He has done for you. Now while we're here in the New Testament, notice that obedience is brought forth again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Obedience is not a foreign concept to the New Testament either. And that's what Paul was getting at there in Romans 12. And that's what he is speaking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As we read here around verse number 5. Second Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing into captivity every thought to what? To the obedience of Christ. Again, this thought being carried forward in the New Testament to what people will say, this is the age of grace. There aren't any requirements for us in our living. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There are plenty. Brother Mike also used the phrase in his Sunday school lesson, something about when we are saved and that new creature is created, the desires to fulfill the law are placed in our heart. The desires to do the things contained therein are there. And it carries with us and is manifested by obedience. Obeying the commands, the laws, the statutes and desires of our Heavenly Father, it's not an optional thing. It's not debatable. We're expected to do it, and we do it with a merry heart because of what God has done for us. We must always remember that God can do as He pleases in every respect. He can do as He pleases in everything that is in this world, including what He expects from us. So thankful that He is a benevolent, all-loving, merciful, gracious God. I'm so thankful that my salvation isn't tied to my ability to be perfectly obedient. Because I can't do that. I can't be perfect. None of us can. But you know what? Now that I'm saved, I have the opportunity. I have the blessing. I have the privilege to obey the voice of God in my life. So then, as we think about our life, what is obedience all about? I mean, the reason for it, of course, God commands it. The reason for it and the motivation is because of what He's done for us through Christ and daily, even still through the Holy Spirit, and certainly for what eternity will be to us. But then what is obedience all about in this life now as we serve the Lord? We've already hit on the first one. And the first one is simply about pleasing God. And upholding His desires for our life, to live them out from day to day in accordance with His Word, to uphold His directives and His commands, to walk in His will, to honor His Word, brings pleasure to His heart. And we'll use this terminology as the Bible even uses, brings a smile to his face. Now, does God smile like we know he doesn't? But it connects with us about the emotion that that produces. And that is told to us time and again throughout the Bible that we can please God. We can bring pleasure unto him by the way that we live our lives. Look at Colossians chapter 3. This example ties in the thought of parenting and child rearing and the responsibility we have to our parents and, of course, the connection it makes with our Heavenly Father. But Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. That's the command. That's the command. Be obedient to that command. Do it. What does it say? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This will make him happy. This will please him. We can please the Lord and we can displease the Lord. That is reality. If we're saved by his grace, if we're not saved by his grace today, you can't please God. It's as simple as that. You can't. Because you have not been created that new creature. You are still, as Isaiah 64:6 describes, all of your, all of your actions. All of your righteousness is filthy rags. But, however, if we are saved by His grace, if we're indwelt by His Spirit, we can please God with our actions here and now in this earth. Though they are tainted by sin and though we are not perfect, we can please God. Bring pleasure to Him, as this verse brings out for us to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 talks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Is what we, of course, would desire. But that's not our reality. And Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, I think I said 4, I meant chapter 5. In verse number 8. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent. Now what he's saying in verse 9 is he's saying, we labor that whether we are there in glory with God or whether we are present here in this life, on this earth, we may be accepted of him. We may please him. We may make him happy and be accepted of him. So obedience today is not about saving ourselves. It's not about trying to constrain people to a list or to a system to get them to do a certain thing. That's what a cult does. That's not Christianity. That's not Bible. But instead, it's about pleasing God. Secondly, it's also about living above self. Obedience to God causes us, requires of us to live above self. Our existence here, it is not to be self-centered. That is evident throughout Scripture. It is not to be about us. We started off last Sunday morning by talking about how anytime we gather together, it's not about us. It's about the magnificent, excellent God that we serve. It's not about any one person. It's not about a group of people. It's not even about a church as a body, but it is about Him. Our existence is to be focused on Him and Him alone. We are not to be consumed merely with what pleases us, with what makes us happy. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, Christ says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him obey me. Carry the burden. Take the weight. Do the work. Obey my voice. Follow me. A life lived by carrying the cross and by following Christ is not one pointed at self, is it? It's not one that says, look at me. But that is a life of obedience that is instead focused on God. It is a life of purpose, a life of substance lived towards God and not towards self. That's what obedience does. Why do we expect obedience out of our children? I keep coming back to that because it makes such a perfect type for us that we can understand. Why do we expect them to be obedient? Just so that we can put a feather in our cap and say, look at what I've done? No, we expect them to be obedient to us so they're not just simply worried about gratifying themselves. So that they're not thinking that the whole world revolves around them, and children need more of that. They need more of that reality. That's exactly what obedience does for us too. It reminds us, hey, the world doesn't revolve around you. Honor God, serve God. And that's the third point. So not only does it please God, not only does it, or is it about living above self, but third, it's about honoring God. It's about honoring God with our life. We're here in 2 Corinthians. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It certainly is a well-established fact that our lives ought to honor God. What does that really mean when we say our lives are to honor God? What does that really mean? The best that I could come up with and put into words is to simply say that our lives are to be lived then as a tribute unto God. To honor Him with our life means that we are living our lives with the purpose of them being a tribute to Him. Being a tribute to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. No matter what you do, do it to the glory of God. How do you do that? You do that by obeying God. Obeying God. And the examples here are eat and drink and whatsoever. And you can take all of that, break them out, break them down, and understand that there are commands, there are ways that we can be obedient in what we eat, what we drink, and whatsoever we do. Things we go, what we see, what we do, all the physical aspects of life, there are ways to obey God. And things that He has called us to be, not to be, to do, not to do, to have, not to have. And we are to live our life as a tribute to Him, to honor God with the substance of our being. Liken it to your money. God says, honor me with a tithe. Give me a tenth of all the increase that you receive. A tenth. That way you honor me with the substance of your living. Honor me with that. In other words, use that to be a tribute. Saying, here, God is as important in my life, and here is a tribute to that by giving of that. Shouldn't our lives be much more than just that 10%? But the thought is the same. It is a giving of ourselves. It is a tribute that the substance of our life would be lived in honor and glory to God. Obedience, again, is not about earning salvation, but rather about honoring the one that saved us. Honoring the one that died for us. Honoring the one that now lives at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Honoring the one that is coming back for us. Honoring the one that is going to take us to be with Him forever in all of eternity. Honoring the one that we are going to be wed to as the bride of Christ one day. Honoring Him with the substance of our lives is what obedience is really about. It gets the focus off of us. It gets it on Him. That is why we are to obey. And again, true obedience isn't about a checklist of things you can and can't do. It's not really what it's all about. We could make some of those. And perhaps there are some of those you should have in your life that you can evaluate your own living by. It's not a bad thing. But it's more than that. It's about the heart. It's about the heart wanting to honor God by honoring His Word, the substance of your living, with how and what you do. We see fourthly, not only is it these things that obedience is about, but it is also pointing others to Christ. So we see that it's about pleasing God. We see that it is about getting the focus off self. We see that it is about honoring God. But also obedience is about pointing others to Christ. Matthew 5:16, Jesus Christ says, put your light on the candlestick, does it? Be the light, pointing people to Christ. We are to, with our lives, be shining before men. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may see what? Your good thoughts, your good intentions. They should see your good works. How does obedience manifest itself? Manifest itself in the works that we do, in the way that we live, in the purpose that is revealed in the things that we do, our heart, of course. Our obedience will light the way to Christ. It will not illuminate ourselves. It will not illuminate the complications of religion, but will in every way serve to mark the path to Christ, and will make it grow brighter and brighter in an ever increasingly dark world. This is our testimony. This is our reputation. This is how other people see us and know us. Let it be one of obedience under the leading of others to Christ. Let them see it in us. Let them see that act of obedience. Let them see that there are things that we can do. What did Paul say? All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Meaning that there's a whole list of things that I'm allowed to do according to the law of Rome. But there's a whole lot of other things, a whole lot of those things that I'm not going to do. Because I want to obey my Lord. Because I want to be obedient and glorify Him. So it will point others to Christ. Now we live in a society today that doesn't speak as loudly as it used to. They can see that something different, but because there is such a lack of biblical literacy in our country today, they don't directly know what that is anymore. But that doesn't mean we stop. It means we keep living. It means we keep doing. It means we keep being obedient and pointing people to Christ. Fifthly, we find that obedience does all of these things, but it also is what is best for us. It is what is best for us. Go back to the analogy with our children, and our children hate to be obedient at many, many points in their lives. They hate to give in and abide by the rules. They don't like those things. And they think that we do it just to be mean. They think we do it just because we can. But why do we do it? Amongst all the other reasons, because it is what we think is best for them. Because what we believe the Bible to teach is best for them. And when God requires obedience from us, it is no different. It is what is best for us. Go back to our text in Jeremiah 7. It is what is best for us. And He said as much to Israel through Jeremiah here in chapter 7. And back again in verse number 23. Again, He makes the command, obey my voice. Then He tells them, and I will be your God. And really, He's reminding them of something that He told Israel through Moses when they were being brought out of Egypt. But He's saying it again. He's telling them, obey my voice, and I will be your God. So that means that obedience is what was best for them, right? Obedience would lead to things for their good. It would be what would prosper their life. Goes on there to say, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, what? That it may be well with you. That it may be a good thing in your life. Truly, obedience is good for us. Blessings follow a heart of obedience, because a heart of obedience will lead to a life of active, daily, living obedience. As we follow the Lord and obey His voice, it will be good for us, and there will be blessings that come. But it's not as if we set out and say, well, I'm going to obey God just because it's going to bless my bank account. It's more of a byproduct than it is a reason. We already covered the reasons. God commanded it. And because of what Christ has done for us. But this is what it's about. This is what it translates to into our life. Obedience is what is good for us. When God says, abstain from this, it's good for us not to. I mean, not just in the blessings we so often think of, like money and possessions and whatever else, health. But it's good for us in so many ways. Spiritually, it's good for us. Mentally, emotionally, physically, there are a lot of different ways that these things are good for us. Obeying the voice of God. We see he says that here also in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. He says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine." He says, if you obey my voice, ye will be a treasure unto me. You will be something that I treasure, something that I love, something that is rare and valuable to me above all the people of the earth. And that certainly is for our good. Often obedience is seen as a negative, as our society rewards those that are rebellious, rewards those that buck authority and have a problem with it and pushes it away. It rewards those that and sees them as having more fun in life. And people often lament, well, if I'm obedient to God, I'm going to miss out on this and I'm not going to be able to do that. And honestly, that's true. You're going to miss out on certain activities. You're not going to do certain things if you are obedient to God. And thank God for that. Truly, that is a blessing. But if you fail, if you are disobedient and choose those things rather, you will miss out on the blessings of God in your life that are irreplaceable. Irreplaceable in every way. Like our earthly parents, our Heavenly Father only wants what is best for us in everything. What is best for us is obeying His voice and doing as He has commanded in everything that we do. And it is, that's found through obedience to His Word, to His will. I mean, we have His written Word, His written will before us. Be obedient to that. On top of that, as you go through life and you seek His will about different things, follow that. And understand that obedience is paramount to our pleasing God. And then the last thing we want to say that obedience is about, and we're going to leave this for our thoughts tonight, is simply trust. Obedience is a lot about trust. Because when you ask for obedience from your children, they don't understand why. I mean, a 3 or 2 year old doesn't understand why the stove is hot and why it will burn them. But it demands trust. You tell them, no, obey me, stay away. You even put barriers in the way so that they can't, or protections in place. They don't understand why. But obedience builds trust. We will not always understand why God desires us to do or not to do the things that He desires of us. We will not always or ever. To obey is to submit to the Lord's will for our lives, for any given circumstance or decision. And obedience elicits and encourages trust in the lawgiver. As we obey, and as we see these things, these list of things happen, we please God, we see that it also gets the focus off of us, and it draws us closer to God, we see that it points people to Christ. We see that it's good for us. What does that do? That makes us trust Him more. And when the next time comes when we're tempted to obey or disobey, guess what? That trust encourages us to obey even the more. Time and again, we'll talk about that more tonight. Let us conclude in Jeremiah chapter 11. The great danger in approaching this subject with complexity or with convolution is that we will be a disobedient people if that is the case. There's great danger in disobedience. Great danger. We will find ourselves suffering under the hot displeasure of God if we disobey. I forget exactly when it was, but talk not too long ago about the correction of God from Hebrews chapter 12. He will correct. And His hot displeasure will come out in that. But notice here in Jeremiah 11, verse number 3, "And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Cursed be the man that obeyeth not my voice. Cursed be the man that is disobedient. We're thankful that God is merciful, gracious, and provides forgiveness, provides restoration, but there is still danger. Would you say that Israel has found or will find forgiveness over what was happening here in Jeremiah's time? Yes. But look at all that's happened. They spent 70 years in captivity. They came back for a while. And of course, great dispersion, not even a country for many, many years. And it will be some time yet in the future before they will fully be recovered. So yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is restoration. Yes, there are those things. But what did he say to Jerusalem or to Jeremiah and to Israel? He said, I didn't talk to your fathers about those things at first. All I told him was just obey my voice. Things will be good. There is great danger in disobedience. Great danger in disobedience. And so we need to understand and to see that, as he says here in verse number 4, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God. And it goes on there. But again, obey, do all these things, accomplish these things in your life, disobey, you'll find great danger. It can still lead to captivity. It can still lead to breaking fellowship with God or many other negative things. What shall be the end of them that do not obey? Well, if we're already saved by the grace of God, we can find forgiveness. But what about those that are not saved? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17 says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Christ? Let me ask you, what shall your end be today? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? That is the command to repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Have you come to that place where you see yourself as a sinner, repent of your sins, and put all of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation? If not, you're disobedient today. You have not obeyed the gospel. You have not done as commanded. You have not done as instructed. And the danger of disobedience is eternity in hell. It is a real place prepared for the suffering of the countless individuals that do not obey the gospel. And that's the reality this morning you face if you die outside of Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, obey it this morning. Come to Christ believing by faith. It's not about works. Christ is the only way. Let's stand and ask for the mic musicians to come. Conclude with a verse of song here this morning. The Lord spoke into any heart during our time together here this morning. We do